Well, the big victory over the New York City FC up at Yankee Stadium is over, but we are just getting started here on the Mainland Podcast. I am Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. Joining me is Dave Rowe. Dave, how you doing?
I am extremely well, as one would be after a away win, an OCB win, and a Pride draw. So it was a fantastic Monday.
It was an outstanding weekend for the entire club. We're very, it's nice to roll into work with the purple shirt on, feeling pretty good about yourself on Monday. And Orlando City going top of the table, courtesy of a pair of Kyle Larin goals. It's one of those games where you knew it was going to get you were going to get a good shot from New York City, and they came, they brought it, got a lot of opportunities, a lot of corner kicks, a ton of corner kicks.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
They got the ball forward quite a bit and had a lot of the possession, but you know, Joe Bendick was equal to the task on most of what they threw at him, and really, again, only a handful of really dangerous opportunities for them, and David Villa made one of them pay off that didn't even really look that dangerous. Orlando got the first goal with a beautiful give and go with Rivas and Sutter, and beautifully weighted ball for Sutter. Sutter put the perfect ball out for Larin, and he couldn't help but touch that home.
Yeah, and what I really liked about it is, of course, that was, you know, Sutter's second assist, one last game, one this game. Mm-hmm. But the whole team defense, whole team attacks, you know, to have your right back up there serving it in for your striker is really nice. And Sutter, of course, has that mentality of getting up the field. You know, you can see that he wants to do that. And now that he's settling in, and he and Johnson on that right side are their communications picked up, he's able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's been great. And then, of course, where'd the other assist came from? Well, just flip sides of the field and let Toya bring it up the left instead and serve it in for Kyle on the other side.
Yeah, great ball in from Toya, puts it up over the top. And, of course, Wallace, a little bit bigger player, I think, than Matarita, who usually plays in that spot. And, Kyle Larin had no trouble shrugging off Wallace and getting up and heading that past Sean Johnson for the second goal. Huge goal, because I really thought at 1-0 the next goal would be sort of what decided the rest of the game. And with Orlando getting that second goal, you know, it enabled them to, you know, to kind of play a little bit more relaxed and you know, knowing they had a little bit of cushion, and, you know, they didn't stop playing by any stretch of the imagination. But then New York was forced to chase them, and Patrick Vieira was making defense for offense substitutions. And, you know, there was opportunity to get a third off a counter, but Orlando City was never quite able to get the right bounce or the right pass to spring that that counter to kill the game off. And of course, when Villa pulled one back, you know, it made for some nervy moments at the end. But Joe Bendick came up big once again with his great positioning and made a good reaction save. He knew where to be, and he read the play well and denied David Villa for the attempted equalizer. And I think that New York really would have loved to have come out of there with a point, Orlando City said, no soup for you. And we're getting 3 points, and we're going home to our fortress to play Colorado.
Well, typically when you have over 60% of the possession and you have 12 corner kicks, you're going to feel pretty good about your chances. But, Orlando did exactly what Jason Christ wants them to do, which is, whether you have the most of the possession, whether you have all those corner kicks, that doesn't matter. If you were making the most of the opportunities you have and scoring the goals when you have them, which they did, then, you know, that's going to win you some games. Speaking of Joe Bendick, we've seen it from him time and time again. I mean, coming up big, seemingly every game. That save should be save of the week. If it's not, then it's not the Bendick Award anymore, which it was after last season. Regardless, a great team win. Everybody played for everybody. Everybody was up and down the entire field. You know, speaking of Giles Barnes, statistically, if you look at, you know, his numbers, it was not that great. I mean, you know, seven passes and, mm-hmm. He shouldn't have been doing, contributed, but he was out there, he was on parallel the whole time. He was forcing them to take the ball wide. He was doing all those other little things that are not, that don't show up on a stat sheet, but are huge in a game like that.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him actually in a bit, but he was all over the field. I think he has shown that he's more than just a striker of the ball. He's more than just an offensive player, an attacking player. I think he's kind of known for that in MLS, but he's shown that he can play a defensive game. He can get into passing lanes. He can make life difficult. And the thing I really like about him is that he when he gets the ball on his feet, he can take the pressure off by keeping it for several seconds and dribbling a bit and taking on defenders and that kind of thing. So anyway, there's so many good performances we could sort of single out from the game, but who was your man of the match?
My man of the match this week is going to go to Kyle Larin. Not only did he have two goals, one of which, the second of which, you talked about, Wallace being big. Well, Kyle Larin is no small dude. So, he worked that one well, positioned himself and got the goal. But that's not even the reason that he's my man of the match. He was doing, we just talked about Giles doing the other things. So did Larin. I remember, watching with a friend that came over to watch the game and pointing out that Larin, made a run from the top of the box all the way back to the midfield, trying to get a ball back that he had lost. Mm-hmm. And, just that effort. And he did it all a game. Everybody did. But, you put that on top of the two goals, he gets my man of the match.
Yeah, I thought he was more involved than he was against the LA Galaxy. He found more ways to contribute, and credit to him for staying active in the game and making the most of his two opportunities. Actually, very close to having a hat trick. He had a good chance there toward the end that Sean Johnson had to go down and make a diving stop on. So, Kyle is also my man of the match. Could have gone to Bendick, could have gone to a lot of other guys, but we'll give it to Kyle this week and be unanimous. I think that's 3 weeks in a row we've been unanimous on man of the match. So,
all right, we're gonna have to stop that.
Yeah, we'll put an end to that. So anyway, so we'll have more on, the upcoming opponents. They'll come home to play Colorado Rapids this weekend. We'll have more on that later on in the show, as well as our conversation with Giles Barnes. The MLS Players Union dropped the salaries today. And, of course, there's no surprise that Kaká still ranks number one in total compensation in MLS. Any surprises to you on that sheet?
No, not really. I mean, well, no. Kaká still at the top. We would have heard if somebody had unhorsed him in that manner. So,
yeah.
I'm not really surprised there. I am. It's unfortunate that some of these guys make as little as they do, given that they are providing us with such great entertainment, but I'm hopeful that the ones that are down there, it's just because, they're new, their salaries will grow and, they'll earn the bigger money.
Some of them are young kids. And obviously the one that stuck out to me was what an incredible bargain the club got for Donny Toya, who's in the 70K range. And,
he's earned that through six games.
He's making what an accountant makes, not an average accountant. Not even a really top end of the line accountant, but he's really been a find for the team this year. And I know that, whenever Orlando City played Montreal and he was playing there, he made life difficult, and he has been really tremendous. He was partially culpable, I guess, on the goal that Villa scored, which was an amazing goal. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Not many players in MLS make that goal from that.
No.
Position on the field and everything, but he's been pretty dang solid, and he's had to go up against some really, really good players early in this season, including Jack Harrison twice.
Well, I'll look at it this way. He's already earned his salary through six games, so the rest of this season is him earning a bigger, fatter paycheck.
Yeah, so hopefully he's playing for more money on his next contract, but yeah, no big surprises. Good raise for a couple of players. A little bit of a pay cut for Seb Hines, who we have yet to see this year. And it's always, I just always find those things interesting. It's there's always guys getting overpaid. There's always guys getting underpaid. That's the nature of the game. It's not just pro sports. That happens everywhere. Guys make more money than they should, and some guys make less money than they should. Because life isn't fair. Let's just get that out in the open. I know everybody thinks it is, but it's not.
Wait, are you breaking that story?
It's a breaking story. Life not fair.
Life not fair. Absolutely. You heard it right from Michael Citroen, ladies and gentlemen.
We are the first to report that, I believe. So anyway,
I think we should fact check that. But
yeah, yeah, well, you know, we don't spend too much time doing that.
No.
I don't think we need to.
Yeah.
So also the Orlando Pride, as we mentioned, they had their home opener this weekend, and we saw the first appearance of Marta in Orlando Pride purple this weekend. She got in the game for about the last half hour. A very good game against a Washington Spirit side that really came to play. They played very hard. They were very hard to break down, and I think a lot of people see, you know, the players that have left that organization, the Allie Kriegers and the Crystal Dunns and the Diana Mathesons and that, and say, well, they're a terrible team. But they're not. The Washington Spirit actually have a very good team still. Yeah. And I think they're not as good as they were, and they may not make the playoffs because only four teams do. But I think they're going to be a middle pack team, and they are good defensively. Orlando Pride only scored one goal in the two games against them last year. It was Sarah Hagen in the home game, and have already gotten one against them this year through you know, the podcast bump. Danica Evans getting her first professional goal.
Yes, she did, and once again, the podcast bump coming through for the Orlando. So I guess we can expect, since Giles is going to be with us today, I guess we can expect him to score the goal this weekend.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, anyway, yeah, so we're – of course, we're very happy for Danica getting that goal, and that was, you know, excellent goal. Speaking of Marta coming on, after she did, you could tell there was a little bit more step in the attack, a little more confidence, and that's her being in town for 48 hours. Just imagine once she actually has some time with the people that she's going to be on the field with and has, you know, be able to communicate with them and learn all their names and whatever else, you know. So, you know, that I think that bodes well. Not that we're surprised, but that bodes well going forward. Obviously, we're glad she's here. And then I also want to give a little attention to Ashlyn Harris, who was solid as always. You know, yeah, she gave up one, but she also had some other excellent saves. Once again, not that I'm surprised. You know, she's at this point starting to become a world-class goalie, and you know, well, there you go.
Yeah, she could have maybe done better on the goal. She punched the cross in, and it it didn't travel far enough, and it was able to shoot, you know, was able to be headed back in goal just under the bar, and it was an unfortunate goal, but it was nice to see the Pride, you know, they came back, they were able to respond and get the draw at home, and that 14,000 people, I think, were ready to explode if Marta's stoppage time shot hadn't just whizzed inches past the goalkeeper. I think you saw just a glimpse in that game of what Marta can do. She actually started that play by getting her foot into a passing lane and deflecting a ball, and it you know, was immediately given back to her, and she was in basically alone down the left side. Didn't have a great angle to shoot at, but sent the keeper the wrong way, and just wasn't quite able to get it on frame. And she really rued that. She rued that moment after the game. She was beside herself. Oh, she wanted that so much to score the game winner in her first game, and she came so close to doing it. But you could really see her quality, and she I think she had a 76% passing accuracy in her first game at playing with players she had never played with really before.
Ed barely met. I mean, let's be honest about it. That's kind of a, hi, yeah, I'm on your team now. Okay, let's go play.
She was asked about the tying goal, and it took her a minute to remember Danica Evans' name. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it was, yeah, she hadn't been in town very long. She had a lot of commitments. Tom Sermani had a real, you know, conundrum when to bring her on, and he finally said, you know, I'll give you a half an hour. She, you know, to her credit, you know, Marta said, it's your call, coach, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And, you know, that's refreshing from a star player to get that kind of response that, you know, she just basically said, you know, however you feel like you should use me, you know, that's the way you should use me. And you know, Tom put her on, and you know, he made the right call putting Danica Evans on, because I thought that Jasmine Spencer had a really tough game, and she's through two games now, I think. I don't know if she's pressing a little bit, but she seems to have had some issues in the final third, and I know she has in the past, but I think it seems a little worse this year, and I don't know if that's, again, maybe because she's taking more on her shoulders and trying to be a leader and trying to do more than maybe she should. But you know, it was nice that the rookie could come in and be the first player from the 2017 NWSL draft to score a goal.
And also the first member of the Pride to be on the podcast. I just want to point that out again. in regards to Marta, I mean, I guess what we are saying is, you know, given the limited time frame, all the other commitments she had to go out there and play that well, don't worry, listeners, give it another week, and gosh, it might even be better. And she was already pretty great. So that's something that we can all look forward to and feel pretty good about.
Well, they're going to need her to be better, because they're going to play North Carolina on the road, and that's, if you don't are not aware, it's the same team that won the championship in Western New York last year before relocating, and they just beat Portland Thorns last week. So that's not going to be an easy. There's not an easy road trip in the league, but I mean, starting out at Portland and at the defending champions, that's pretty tough to go up against those two right off the bat in the first 3 weeks.
Especially when you're not full strength, so.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. You know, we gotta Marta will probably be starting, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Jamia Fields got hurt a bit and had to come off, and it actually made the team better, because Allie Krieger moved out to her more natural right back position, and she was able to get a lot more touches of the ball and get forward and get involved in the middle of the pitch, and it really helped the Pride maintain possession. So we'll see if Jamia is healthy and good to go. We hope she is, but we also kind of hope that, at least I do, that Tom decides to put Allie out wide and put Laura in the middle with Alana Kennedy.
Yeah, that I'm in agreement with you there. I'm a big believer and advocate for putting players in their natural positions. I think that,
Absolutely.
yeah, I think
Caught me having a drink there.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's
Well,
okay. I
anyway.
thought you would go longer, but that's okay, because no, you're right. I mean, I think that there's a chemistry between those three Australians in the back,
Right.
and you know, Ally Krieger can play with just about anyone on the planet. So I think if you have that four in the back, which is kind of what I envision going into the season, you know, then it makes your team stronger. Now I understand why Tom did what he did. Jamia is a quick player. She's got good movement. You figured she could get forward, and that's a good way to get her involved. And I think that it was a good idea, and I think it still could work, but I think through the first game and a half there, where it just wasn't quite coming together. And I think, you know, when things don't quite come together, go with the familiar. And I think Allie Krieger is about as reliable as it gets.
Yeah, without a doubt. And to finish the thought that I should have finished to give you your time to take your drink, when you've got your players in your natural positions, they are more comfortable, which allows them to pick their head up and look around, make better passes, make the better decisions, and then that allows that, you know, communication between players, which then builds into you know, working it out of the back better. It just everything builds from that. So you know, if we're able to do that, or if any team is able to do that, then that's going to be to their advantage.
Absolutely. So the Pride get a draw. They get their first point of the season, which, you know, it's better than no points. And they did have to rally to get that point, so it's good to see a little resilience. And they have not yet been beaten at Orlando City Stadium. And then in the nightcap on Sunday, not really much of a nightcap. It started at 4 o'clock. OCB went out to Bethlehem, and oh, little town of Bethlehem, and they defeated the Steel 2-0 on a pair of Richie Larea goals. And now, if you're not familiar with Richie Larea goals, it's because he had not scored one as a professional until Sunday, and then he scored two of them. It was nice to see, because OCB didn't start that. I mean, they started the game okay, but then most of the first half, they were really getting rocked, really back on their heels. And Earl Edwards Jr., I think he might have been like a mutant and like just like sort of like Dr. Octopus or something was blocking things that I didn't think human beings could block. I mean, he was amazing. And all he did was keep his team in the game throughout the first half. It went into halftime with no score. And then in the second half, Larea came out. They settled things down a little bit in the second half. They started to find space and attack with a little bit more rhythm and precision. And it was really it was nice to see Richie Larea finish, because he's, you know, I've seen so many of his shots that have kind of spun weakly off his foot, or he's tried to pass the ball into the and just not gotten anything on it. But he really thumped both of those strikes on Sunday.
Yes, he did. And you know, getting that first pro goal in the 49th minute, well, of course, we were all happy to see that. Going back to Earl Edwards Jr., he is for OCB this year, he has been outstanding. And I know that, you know, you might look at the record, okay, the losses and that, but in all of those games, even in the losses, he did a lot. And he did a lot in this last game as well. Like you said, I mean, that first half, as a matter of fact, you know, if our listeners are able to go look at our internal our communications between the staff here, the comment I made was Edwards is keeping them in this game.
Yep, he really did. I mean, he was outstanding, and that was reflected on the USL Team of the Week. Both Richie and Earl made Team of the Week this week, and no surprise. Earl was actually very good at Harrisburg, keeping that to a keeping Harrisburg down to one and allowing the team to get off out of there with a draw. So, you know, OCB, three-game road trip, they go 1-1-1, and that's not too bad.
I'm pretty sure that on this very podcast we said, hey, if they're able to go 1-1-1, we're going to call that a really successful road trip. So here we are calling that a really successful road trip.
That's right. This is a picture of us, or a sound recording of us saying that's a successful road trip for Anthony Pulis's boys. It was nice to see. In fact, Albert Dequa could have scored a goal. They had a play where the referee – did not play advantage, and the very next touch of the ball was Dequa getting there first and putting it in the net. So that was unfortunate that he lost out on a goal. But it was nice to see a multi-goal road victory with a clean sheet. And you know, now the OCB's played a couple of more. They're kind of the opposite of Orlando City. They've played – they're about – I think they were seventh after the weekend, so they're in the playoff position. Of course, again, it's early. But they have played seven games. Most of the teams in the Eastern Conference have played fewer games than them, whereas the MLS team has played fewer games than basically everybody.
Right.
So they're a little bit on the other end of it. But they do get a two-week break after this this Thursday, the upcoming game against St. Louis Football Club. So Thursday night at the at Orlando City Stadium. Go see them play. It's not that expensive, and it's good soccer, and you're going to get to see players that are going to play for the MLS team in the near future.
If I was in town, I would go. Unfortunately, I'm stuck up in Tallahassee, so I don't get to make that one.
You're not stuck. You got a transportation. You could get out of there anytime you want.
That's true, and I could probably get down there by 7:30 when the game starts. I might get fired from my job, but it might be worth it. I mean, you know, get to see the stadium.
Just take some syrup of Epicac with you to work and just throw up in front of the boss. He'll send you home. He'll just send you. He'll make you leave. He won't even let you stay. So
that's right. That's right. We're not saying that that's good advice for you listeners, but yeah. We also are not necessarily stopping you if you are of an adult age.
That's right. We're not going to prevent you from following that as if it were advice, but it's not advice.
It's not advice.
That's right. So... And I'm not saying that I have actually done that in the past. That is not what I'm saying.
That is not an admission of guilt in any sense of the way for Michael's bosses at all.
Absolutely. All right. So good weekend. A draw to start. Two victories to finish it off strong. And, you know, we're back at it this weekend. We got the OCB on Thursday. We got Orlando City and Orlando Pride both on Saturday. Unfortunately, both starting at 4 o'clock, Dave. Which is unfortunate for everybody involved, but
DVR.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do that again. You're gonna have to figure out that Go 90 thing. I think for the Pride game, because I don't think this is the first non-game of the week of the season for them. So that one might be a little bit difficult. You might just have to have it open on your phone while you're at the Orlando City game. I think is what you have to do.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have one on the iPad and one on the phone while I'm at work trying to do my job. But,
there
you know,
you go.
The sacrifices we make.
That's right. All right, so why don't we get to our special guest this week, Giles Barnes, and we'll do that right after this. All right, joining us on the Mainland Podcast this week, very happy to have with us from Orlando City, Giles Barnes himself. Giles, how you doing tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Mainland Podcast this week. You know, it was it's probably seems like you haven't had a chance much to catch your breath since arriving from Vancouver, but you know, already I think fitting in really well with what Jason Kreis is doing, and I think I wanted to start out by asking you, you know, about starting at New York City. You know, Matias was suspended and coming back off that suspension, but you know, Jason said, you know, we've been successful with this guy, we're going to keep him in here and give him the start. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, you know, obviously as a competitor, you want to come in and you know, get the ball rolling and get into the starting 11 as soon as possible, you know, and I feel I've taken my chances when they have came. You know, I've just got to keep on working hard every single day, but, you know, I'm going to keep on echoing this, and I think it's our team ethos this year. It's literally about the team. You know, you've seen how good we are at home. We've proved that we can do it on the road, and it's important that we keep that team cohesion, everything together, and that everyone pulls in the same direction and not trying to be, you know, for the one man, but more for the 23-man squad that we have.
Yeah, Giles, we've noticed that the whole defend as a team, attack as a team mentality that you guys seem to have. With all the new additions, for that to come together so quickly, is there anything what is it about this group that has enabled you guys to do that?
You know, I think Jason and the staff have done a great job of getting a bunch of veterans that are still hungry and still have things to prove to themselves, to the league, to the fans, to everyone here, and people that are hungry to succeed. You know, when I first spoke to Jason, he knew my hunger and my desire, you know, and I'd seen how the team was being built and structured in the offseason, you know, the getting in Jonathan Spector, you know, I played against Specky a lot of times in Europe, playing against people like Will Johnson, and then you add that the talent that you've already got here, you know, Christian Higuita, Kyle Lahren, you know, Carlos Rivas, Tommy Redding. There's too many names to round off, you know, and it's great that there's a bunch of us guys that, you know, we feel we have to kind of take the mantle and, you know, push the team and push our thoughts in that direction, the same as the coach. And the young lads have just taken to it, you know, and they're flying at the moment.
You know, Giles, it didn't take you long to endear yourself to Orlando fans. You get out on the pitch when Kaká goes down on opening day, and one of your first touches of the ball is a beautiful back post cross to Kyle Lahren for the game's only goal. That can you just put into words your emotion about that moment?
You know, I've had quite a tough time in Vancouver trying to settle. So, you know, coming to somewhere new, a different environment, you know, obviously getting to play on a grass pitch again was something that was so key to me. And, you know, Jason showed the belief in me to bring me here, you know. But coming on for such a player of Ricky's caliber, you know, there's big boots to fill, you know. But I try and work off, you know, if I can work as hard as I can, good things will happen. You know, my father always told me the harder you work, the luckier you'll get. So, you know, I've always kept that kind of mentality, and obviously stepping into the game, that was my only thought. This is do this for the team, work my socks off, you know, and, you know, thankfully, you know, you don't really have to replay the goal over and over again, but, you know, Carlos has robbed me the ball, and I've seen Kyle back post, you know, and me and Kyle have been good friends off the pitch for a while now. So, you know, it's a good understanding, and, you know, it was a great way to open up the new stadium.
Well, I can tell you, we all enjoyed it. Obviously, you've come on and you've been very successful early on with Orlando City, which we appreciate. And the team is having some early success. What are you attributing that to? You know, is there anything in particular that you guys are doing, whether it's formation, training, et cetera?
I think it's all of that, you know, but the key word you used there was team, you know. As I said, Jason's done a great job of getting a group of guys together that are pulling in the same direction, and you know we're all out there for the same cause, for the same reason. You know, we don't call ourselves a team; we call ourselves a family, and that's how we treat each other. And I think that's showing. You know, when times are tough on the road, you know, it was tough for the last 15, 20 minutes in New York. We stuck together, we rode it out, and you can see everyone's elation after the game and how happy and what it meant to people, you know. And that's because we're all fighting for each other, because we do treat each other like a family.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I was just thinking to the end of the Philadelphia game when, you know, the club was defending for dear life, and just, you know, I think every team thinks they're a team that's close-knit and a team that's passionate, but I really see a different level of passion from this year's Orlando City team. You know, particularly at the end of games when you're closing out one of those tough one goal games. How close is this team, and is, you know, how does it compare to some of the other places you've been?
You know, it's funny you say that. I've been asked the question a couple times. You know, everyone kind of refers back to the Houston Dynamo 2012 team that Dominic Kinnear managed. It was my actual first 6 months there. You know, that team was a successful team because of the organization, the drive, the leadership that came from the coaching staff and the manager, and it bled down into the veterans that took hold of the group. And, you know, I think Jason has done here. He was very successful at Salt Lake as well, so he knows what it takes to be a winner. He's still a competitor, and that's amazing to see, you know, especially after the success that he's had. And he's hungry. So, you know, when you've got a coach with that kind of passion, drive, that's still meticulous and, you know, wants to nitpick every single detail but still wants to allow you the freedom and expression to play, it's infectious, and I think that's what you're seeing for this group, for definitely.
Well, speaking of family, I know you've played a lot of different places, a lot of different stadiums, and I want to get your impressions of and you even said it in a interview, the fortress, and of course the supporters at Orlando City. How is that impacting you and the team?
You can't really put it into words. You know, it is our fortress. It's our home. You know, this is our city, not just the 11 to 18 players that are in the squad of the day, to the 23, to the staff. It's the whole city, you know, and that's what we're trying to achieve here. You know, we're trying to make and give this city something it deserves. And, you know, when you've got the fan base that we do, they deserve nothing but the best. So that's obviously something that's always in our mind too. It's always something that said, one of the last things before we go out, you know, we do this for our city, for our stadium, for our fans. So, you know, it's one big family, and, you know, we're hoping to bring the family success.
You know, Jaws, I think one of the things that surprised a lot of people was the work rate that you put in defensively. I mean, everybody likes to score goals. Everybody likes to get forward and take shots, and you've been able to do that. But, you know, just tremendous work rate defensively. And is this an opportunity for you under Jason Christ to show that side of your game?
Yeah, I think so, you know. You know, as a professional, you always think you're hard done by, you know, by people saying that that's not something that I'm really known for. I think that's for sure. But, you know, obviously moving into the wider areas and playing wide left, and, you know, playing in a central midfield diamond, you have to do a little bit more. You know, other teams I've been at, I've been a lone forward or a free role, you know, mm-hmm. So I've not really had to have that much responsibility. But, you know, if you go back to when I first came over to MLS, I came as a central midfielder. So I'm used to box to box. I think just over the years, obviously playing for Jamaica, people have kind of, you know, really labeled me as a striker now. But now they're seeing me back out wide and, you know, back in the middle of the park. So you're actually getting me to see, you know, be that two-way player again. You know, it's actually really nice and refreshing that people are actually mentioning that about me, you know, because as I said, you know, I kind of live by the quote, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I believe that that's what this team is about, you know, hard work, and, you know, we'll get the results. And also get that lady luck as well when we are up against the Kosh.
Well, you know, you mentioned being back in the midfield, and coach has reinstituted his diamond formation in there. It looked to have a little bit of a growing pains early, but the last two games, it's seeming to come together more. What is your impression of running in that diamond and how the team is adapting?
I think it's been, you know, nothing is ever glitchless, but I feel it's been pretty smooth. You know, obviously we started the season in the kind of, you know, 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2, whatever you want to call it, you know. But Jason knows how he wants to play football. He knows how he's had success, and he's realized that he's got a group of players that can be flexible, you know, and play in different formations. And you have to keep other teams guessing. It's a long season. The one thing you don't want to do is get figured out, and that's what the boss has really got in his head, you know, that we can play different formations and play different ways against different teams, and there's different pieces to the puzzle that can play in different positions. And it keeps teams guessing. It keeps things fresh. You can change things when you're on the pitch. But, you know, the change to the diamond is, I think it's been good. I think we've got more control of the ball from early on in the games. But, you know, towards the end of the game, sometimes we sit into a 4-4-2. Sometimes we go into that 4-2-3-1 again. So it gives you that flexibility to flip and flop.
Now, Giles, you mentioned that the harder you work, the luckier you get. But I have to say you were pretty unlucky in the LA game, because you had two really, really good chances that just got blocked at the last second. And yeah. You know, how does Jason or does Jason ever even talk to you about, you know, keeping your head up and keeping you going when the ball's not going in the net?
You know, I think you know, people know me pretty well. I never get too high and I never get too low. So I know that it didn't go in last week, but there'll be another one that comes and flicks in off the back of my shoulder, and that'll be the makeup one, you know. I've not got any fear about going and taking shots. There's no, there's a bit of like frustration that I haven't scored, but it's not an anxious frustration. It's that anticipation of wanting to score, you know. But, you know, Jason's great with me. He has been from day one. He's got a lot of confidence in me. You know, and the more I play, I think it's just going to keep shining for him.
Now, we're looking forward to the return of Kaká back onto the pitch here hopefully soon. What do you think, what's that going to do to the team dynamic when he returns?
You've got one of the best players to ever grace the earth at your disposal. I think it's pretty much self-explanatory. Just, you know, seeing the name Kaká and mentioning it with our organization and our family, it's going to put fear into people. But, you know, I don't need to sit here and tell you Ricky's attributes. Everyone's seen it for the last however many years. But having him at our disposal is definitely going to be a huge weapon and a fantastic, you know, boost for us. And we're already doing really well. So to add him into our artillery is going to be incredible.
Now, before we let you get out of here, Giles, I just want to ask you about Colorado this week, a very difficult team to break down. What have you seen from them, and you know, what kind of a match do you expect, and who do you see yourself, you know, going up against this weekend?
You know, Colorado, they're an organized team. They've got a manager that really emphasizes on defending. They've won a lot of games 1-0, you know, over the last couple of seasons. But, you know, as I said, they're coming to our place. They've got everything to worry about. They've got everything to fear. Yeah, we're going to prepare exactly the same as we prepared every single week for the last 5-6 weeks. And we're going into our fitting. We have no fear. So there's really nothing to put ourselves to get worried about. We just got to concentrate on our game plan and how we're going to impact them when they come to our field.
All right, Giles Barnes has no fear about the Colorado Rapids this weekend. And, you know, thank you so much for being with us on the Mainland Podcast, and best of luck to you this season.
No, thank you very much for having me. I'll come on anytime you guys need.
Well, it just will about do it for episode number 83 of the Mainland Podcast. I don't know if I mentioned that at the top of the show, our 83rd episode. And what a good one it was. We want to thank Giles Barnes for being with us. And Lucas Casas of the Orlando City Communications Department, thank you for setting that up. Giles was an awesome interview, and I really enjoyed listening to his takes on how together this team is.
No, well, not only that, but he has that excellent accent going on, which makes us, you know, sound lame in comparison. So we, you know, that was nice. But no,
Dave, we are lame in comparison to Giles.
Oh, right,
Barnes.
That's right. Yes, we are lame in comparison to Giles Barnes. Not just the accent, but a whole bunch of other things. Giles was great, and you know, I love that he confirmed for me the the closeness of the team, you know, even as new as they are to each other, and how everybody is buying in, and it really spoke volumes to me about the character, not just of Giles, but everybody else, and I think it looks good going forward.
Absolutely. And you know, before we get out of here, we're going to talk about our key matchups for the Colorado game this weekend, and of course our scoreline predictions. And you know, we wanted to, just before we do that, just to make sure that we do a little housekeeping and say, please listen to our podcast every week. You can subscribe to it through iTunes or Stitcher or various other things. You know, please, if you like what you hear, give us an honest rating at iTunes, and maybe leave some comments there as well, because that's how we move up on the listings, and then it just exposes our show to more Orlando City fans and MLS fans across the globe, as it were. So please do that, and of course read our stuff at themainland.com. Follow us on Twitter at themainland, and you know, you can like us on Facebook as well. So we've got all those there social media things, everything except MySpace.
Oh, we're not on MySpace?
We don't have a MySpace page. No.
Okay.
So Dave, the Colorado Rapids are a very difficult team to score goals against, but they don't score a lot of goals. So I wanted to get your key matchup for this stubborn, hard-to-break-down team, and you know, your thoughts on what the final score might be on Saturday.
All right. Well, as you say, they are a hard-to-break-down team, but they don't score a lot of goals. So there is no doubt in my mind that the key matchup is not going to be on our defensive end of the field, not with the way that they have been playing, not just our back line, but everybody from the front to the back. Mm-hmm. So my key matchup is obviously going to be our offense, what the strikers, the top of that diamond, can do to even the midfield, to hopefully break them down, get in there. You know, maybe it's going wide again. I'm not sure, but it's whether or not our strikers and those feeding them can get in and put us in a position to score some goals. Mm-hmm. I do think that that's going to happen. We're at home. We are in the fortress. I thoroughly believe that we're going to win this game. Typically, since they are such Colorado, such a win or lose by one goal kind of team, I would typically, you know, say it's a 1-0 win for the Lions. But that's not what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to, since it's at home with the wall behind them, I'm going to call a 2-0 game for the Lions. And I'm going to go completely away from what I did last week. Kyle gets no goals, and I'm probably shooting myself in the foot with that one. But I'm going to say that Rivas finally gets one in, and I say that Giles Barnes gets the podcast bump, and he gets a goal in that game.
All right. Well, that's some prediction. In fact, the last time Colorado came to Orlando, it was a 2-0 Orlando City victory, and that was in, of course, the Citrus Bowl, now Camping World Stadium. I agree that the key matchup is in the midfield. I think that it's the part of the problem with scoring goals on the Rapids, in addition to them having great goalkeeping, although Tim Howard is suspended. You know, they've still had, you know, very good goalkeeping even when Howard's been out. And I think that the main thing is they make it very difficult for you to get the ball into good scoring spots for your strikers. So I think that it's the setup men, it's the midfielders, it's the Giles Barneses of the world, that, you know, that's going to be my key matchup. Can they beat their man and get the ball to Rivas and get the ball to Laren in advantageous positions? That's the key for me. I'm going to say 1-0 victory, which would be, I believe, the third of those this season at home. And I think that the goal scorer's name is Kaká.
Oh,
I think Ricky gets on the field this week. I don't think he starts, but I think he comes off the bench in a tight game, kind of opens things up, maybe gets a little give and go from Carlos Rivas, and finds it back in the net.
Well, to be fair, the last time that he came back from injury early in the season last year, he had an outstanding game. Absolutely. So I don't know how much of a limb you're stepping out on that one. I think I'm way out on a limb with the Giles Barnes thing. But hey, you know what? This week, it doesn't matter which one of us is right. If one of us is right, it'll be a good result.
Absolutely. And I just hope that one of us is right, because usually I hope that we're wrong, and now I'm hoping that one of us is right. So this is a little bit of a flip in the switch. So anyway, yeah, we'll find out what happens Saturday at 4 o'clock at Orlando City Stadium, and you know, wear your purple and scream until your throat hurts a lot, and then scream some more, and we'll be back next week to sort of wrap it all up and unpack the weekend that was with the Pride and OCB as well. And of course, you know, that's, again, a difficult road game for the Pride. OCB playing against another top Eastern Conference team. I mean, St. Louis is, I think they've lost their last two, but I think they started the season 3-0-1 or something along those lines. So they were off to a good start. They've already played Tampa. They've already played New York Red Bulls too. They've already played Louisville City. So, I mean, OCB getting the East's best early in the season, also getting their worst because Bethlehem's at the bottom, but but mostly getting the best early in the season. And you know, hopefully the you know, hopefully this season, as slowly as it started for Anthony Pulis' side, I mean, they may actually you know, have something this year if they continue to come together as a team. I know it's going to be difficult with the lineup changing every week like it does, but it really looks like there's some good pieces there, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Larea down there, you know, on loan, and from Albert Diqua, and you know, Pierre Da Silva, of course, is mm-hmm. is his delivery is second to none, and of course Earl Edwards Jr. is having a good year. So you know, if they can string together some results, you know, like they did the last two games on the road, you know, if they can bring that home and bottle that home magic that the other team, you know, the senior side has, then you know, that it might be a pretty good season for the young Lions.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned Earl, because he's definitely been a monster this year in goal. He's you know, working his magic and trying to get his way back up into MLS, and you know, he's a young man, so that's certainly something that can happen later. So there is a lot of good things to look at when you're looking at OCB. Of course, you know, Anthony is doing a excellent job down there, as we said many times, doing his actual job, which is developing, mm-hmm. you know, and if he can get some wins along the way, well, then that's this bonus. So, yeah, it's from our perspective, it's all good down there. And then, you know, I don't think either of us could have predicted that the season for the MLS squad was going to start the way it has. And I know we're both excited and happy about that.
Yep. So let's keep it going. We'll be back next week to talk about it. And until then, you know, on behalf of Dave Rowe, I am Michael Citro of the Mainland Podcast, signing off episode number 83, the way I always do, by saying, go City.